Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
On the roll, back in the end zone, and it is caught. Mark Andrews with the touchdown.
Highlight from Sunday, Lamar Jackson's only touchdown pass was to Mark Andrews after throwing three touchdowns to tight ends in Miami. So the question is essentially this. Is this going to be a tight end-centric offense moving forward in the passing game?
We talked to our pal Cynthia Freeland about it. I think we've talked in the past about their ability to shape shift and beat you in different ways, and we reached a point last year where this offense was at such like master's level, you know, classes where anybody in any given down and distance could literally be the difference maker in the passing game. We're not there now, but they do have the ability to line up in different personnel groupings and still feel good about their ability to, at least be a productive offense. I don't know about explosive. I don't know about dynamic. I don't know about generational like they were a year ago. But yeah, 13 and 12 personnel are things that they're comfortable living in. They've been in those personnel groupings in the past when they haven't had Lamar at this level. They haven't had a coordinator this accomplished. They haven't had the talent that they have now. And that's with Bateman obviously being out of the equation now for a while. Now, in some of those years, you'd tell me they had a better offensive line, and I'd be like, yeah, that's true. And I don't know that it's going to be bombs away to the tight ends, but I think Likely is the most obvious person. He's not going to be Bateman. He can't run like Bateman. He's not the deep threat Bateman is, but I'd say he's the second best deep threat on this team right now because I think Zay still has to do all the things that Zay does. I don't know that you want to line Zay out there, you know, outside the hash marks 35, 45 times and have him running go routes and have him running verts. I think you need him to continue to pick people apart underneath and in the middle of the field and on crossers and in the intermediate. And you know he can turn that into deep stuff with Yak, but he's not going to high point a ball. He doesn't have the size that Likely has. So I think, yeah, Likely becomes an outside receiver. I think they run a lot of 13 personnel. I think Charlie Kohler keeps getting his in the red zone and certain third down spots. I think you continue to see Andrews in the back of the end zone doing the things that he's done. And I think they're going to struggle to complete balls 30, 40 yards downfield. And I think they're going to continue to be who they are, which is we're not even really going to try it that often. Like, we're not going to try it a whole lot because, well, we don't think we're going to be able to execute it. Now we don't really have our best deep threat. And we've got an offensive line that's gotten in trouble and gotten our quarterback in trouble when we've tried to do it. And I mean, right now we're what, more than a halfway through the season?
Just week 10, yeah.
They've got 13 completions of 25 yards or more. That's ninth fewest in the NFL. Last year, they were third in the league in that category. You know, they've got one pass play over 50 yards all year. Last year, at this time, they already had five. Last year, 9.2 air yards per attempt. Best in the NFL. Now, They're 20th in the league in yards per attempt. Like, and I don't think they're getting back there. And so I think tight ends are going to be the key to sustaining this passing game.
Sustaining the passing game, drives on third downs, but also you mentioned the red zone, and we saw it against the Vikings on Sunday. Again, with how bad this offense is in short yardage, they're going to have to start passing more in short yardage situations, and these tight ends are going to have to win in those situations, in particular in the red zone. And it was this time last year, probably a little bit before this, when Mark Andrews really turned it on, and he led the NFL, led tight ends in receiving touchdowns last year. He's got three touchdowns in his past couple of games. Charlie Kohler, seeing him more involved. We haven't seen Isaiah Likely score a touchdown yet, but now, as the season goes on and you'd think that he's going to get healthier and healthier, he's got to really show up in this passing game. And whether it's passes down the field, 20-plus air yards, or just his ability with yards after the catch, he's got to be able to generate big plays.
I keep waiting, and I know we talked about it a couple weeks ago, the fact that Likely and Lamar have never been, like, they weren't healthy together. So there's a ramp-up time. I'm still waiting, and I thought we started to see it against Miami, but I'm waiting to see the Isaiah Likely breakout game, and we really haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, look, we haven't seen him have the high target volume. We've seen him, you know, show up on a sort of non-design rollout boot under duress a couple times in the scramble drill, but within the construct of the offense, not a whole lot. We know what's capable. We know it's possible. We've seen it before. I mean, this Browns defense is pretty good. So I don't think this is a week that they go off, period.
Even like, better at home, like a couple years ago.
So, I don't know that anybody's going to be a superstar for them offensively in this game. I think it's probably going to be another sort of fits and starts, keep it simple, stupid, don't let the offensive line get us all killed here and have us behind the sticks. I think they've got to look. They've got to find a way to unlock Isaiah Likely a little bit in this offense. Like, period. Whether you want to put him in motion more, whether you want to fight for certain matchups more, again, whether you just want to sell him as an outside receiver for right now, I don't know that you need a whole lot of the inline stuff with him, with Kohler in good form, with Ricard back. Like, I'd like to see more motion from Likely. I'd like to see more pre-snap stuff. I'd like to see them try to get him isolated out wide against a corner they think he can take advantage of.
I'm not comparing a few people on this planet are as explosive as Keaton Mitchell, but it's sort of the conversation regarding Keaton Mitchell, where you give him the ball in space, he has the ability to generate big plays a heck of a lot more than Mark Andrews and Charlie Kohler in his position group. They got to find a way to get him the football more.
Ravens off today. They'll be back on the practice field tomorrow, getting ready for the Cleveland Browns, are 8.5-point favorites in Cleveland on Sunday. Coming up next, though, what is going on with Joe Burrow? When could Joe Burrow be back? We'll hear from Joe Burrow himself in Northern Exposure next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Here on the Fan.
Yeah, you know, our division is wide open. There's a lot of, I think Pittsburgh's 5-4 at this point. We play them this week. So, you know, everything is still there in front of us. Very rare that our division looks like this, but it does this year. And so, you know, I think we'll be at least in it until the end.
That's Joe Burrow, who, depending on you, who you ask, he could be back on Thanksgiving. He could be back Thanksgiving-ish. He could be back week 14. I will say this. Okay, so the division, I guess, is wide open. They're a game back of the Ravens, who are a game back of the Steelers. They're also a game up on the Browns for last place.
Yeah.
So I do wonder, and they play the Steelers this weekend. I just don't see the Steelers getting swept by the Bengals. So let's just play a hypothetical rabbit hole game. They got the Bengals, the Steelers this weekend that dropped them to 3-7, and then they play the Patriots. That could be 3-8. At that point, are you? I guess they'll still entertain bringing him back, but the question I would have is why?
Ken, it's at Ravens, at Bills, Ravens again. Like, this is a tough stretch.
Oh, and by the way, Joe Flacco, Jason, he's putting up 40 points a game, but they're still losing because the defense stinks.
170 yards.
What? I mean, again, I think this whole thing has gotten sideways. I don't think there's ever any chance that he's playing at Thanksgiving, and I don't think he was ever playing until December, and it's probably not till the second game in December. And then, by then, it could really make less than no sense to do this. But we know how he's wired. And even if they're out of it, I think he's going to start keep talking this way. And if the owner wants him to play, then he's going to, like, Zach Taylor's not going to intervene. Mm-mm. Like, so if the owner thinks it's a good idea, but, like, make no mistake, this is a franchise quarterback who's been hurt a lot in a season that's already lost again on a team that's got probably the worst defense in the NFL at a time when there are so many terrible defenses in the NFL. And you're going to risk compromising another season for him to play glorified exhibition games, knowing even if he scores us 42, it might not be enough.
And you've got the Trey Hendrickson stuff going on. Like, he doesn't seem to want to rush back for any reason. Like,
well, they can't. I mean, well, he doesn't. That's neither here nor there. Like, they're no good with him. They're no good without him. Like,
they're a little better with him.
Really? I don't know.
Yeah, he's a pass rusher.
He's barely played this year. Like, yeah. I mean, I don't think he's going to play a whole lot more. They're an incredibly flawed football team. They also don't have a good offensive line. So, look, you want to keep people involved. You want to sell tickets, right? You want to have some feeling of intrigue or mystery about what's to come. So they're playing the game the way they should be playing it. They're trying to make fans think it still makes sense to show up now that it's getting cold and spend $15 for a beer. Like, I get it. But is the calculus for actually putting him back on a football field going to make sense to the guy who owns the team? I'm not sure that it's going to.
The Steelers game seems massive, and that's Captain Obvious, but you lose that game, I think things will really snowball with this football team, especially considering the fact of how they entered the bye, guys. It's a much different conversation if you don't give up 23 fourth quarter points to the Jets and lose there, and then whatever the heck happened against Chicago at the end. If you win both of those games, then you're in first place, and then this is a much different conversation that we're having, but you lost them, and now your margin of error is out the window.
Yeah, does Joe Burrow want to play?
Oh, I think he does.
You think, even if they're like 3-8, he wants to play?
Yeah, I think he wants to remind everybody how good he is. I think there's probably a part of him that, from a recovery standpoint, will feel like it'd be good to work some of this out now. Like, No, I think he's a true competitor, and even if it doesn't look like there's a lot to play for, like, this is what he loves to do. He also, I think, knows he's not going to be able to do it forever.
Yeah.
So
I get it, and I respect it, but he's a hurt guy.
Well,
guys get hurt.
He's their asset,
yeah.
And they need to manage the asset. And
there's another part to that, Jason.
You could work him out for this period, and then just say, "Guess what? We make the transactions around here. Yeah, we're not. We're going to say we didn't like what we saw during the window, and we're not activating you."
Let me ask you a question, though. You manage the asset. Wouldn't it behoove the asset to lose as much as possible once you're eliminated, so you get as good a draft pick as possible? Because God forbid they do things like trade.
That's the other part of it, though. How much is he going to? How much more is he going to do than what Flacco's already doing? And it's still not enough to win. So, like, even if you bring him back, you're not winning a lot of games. The defense is
terrible.
The Jets scored 38 points on them.
It will be an interesting thing. You just thought made me think of something. The Jets offense has been awful all year, except against the Steelers and the Bengals. So when they play the Ravens in a week, will they be able to put a number up on this defense?
I mean, they've been moving the ball on the ground pretty good. I don't know that they're going to do it Thursday night against New England because their run D is pretty special. But, like, I mean, I don't know. They've gotten some weird special team scoring
as well.
Yeah,
well, that was this past week.
But lately, they've had a few games where they've had a pulse, which there was a long period of time, like the Miami game, where they, in large portions of the season, they had no pulse. There was no threat of them scoring until or unless you got to extreme garbage time. Justin Fields has four starts this year where he hasn't thrown for 61 yards.
That's good. It was 53 yards this past week. That's something. That's something. Hey, coming up next, Purple Rain in the forecast. And Rashad Bateman, we think he's going to miss some time. He said in the locker room after the game Sunday he has a high ankle sprain. So bye-bye, Bateman. Does that mean bye-bye any chance of a deep passing game? We'll discuss next here on The Fan.
What is a hip drop tackle? It's an enigma, apparently, that can't be called during the game. It looked like a hip drop tackle. I think so, yeah, based on the definition. Am I going to get in trouble for saying that? I hope not. I think he's going to be okay. Yeah, he's got an ankle sprain. We'll see how serious it is.
So that was Harbs yesterday in a good mood. Now, Rashad Bateman told Kimberly Martin from ESPN in the locker room after the game Sunday that he had a high ankle sprain. Remember, that was the play after the ball. It was thrown behind him a little, but we talked yesterday. We think a year ago he catches that ball in the end zone. Instead, he gets the quick screen and he gets the high ankle sprain, and now he's going to miss some time. They really haven't utilized the deep ball much with Rashad Bateman, but he was a big part of that offense, the deep ball, a year ago. So with him being out likely for the next two games, are we going to see deep ball passing at all from this Ravens offense?
I think it's highly doubtful. I don't think they're constructed that way. I don't think they think they're constructed that way. And we weren't seeing them even implying, intending, pretending that that's really what they were about this year while they had Bateman. And let's face it. Like, I know the quarterbacks have, like, we've seen three of them. But, like, they didn't sign Cooper Rush because they don't think he could throw the ball 40 yards down the field. Like, there's been opportunities now where you've had your full complement of skill players together for the better part of 10 games, except for the quarterback, which is shuffled around.
Mm-hmm.
But they were scoring a whole lot of points early in the year, and it wasn't throwing the ball downfield. So, I mean, you look at trends that are now months into a season, and they're not picking up yards downfield. They're certainly not scoring on splash plays. I just don't see it. Air yard attempts, 20 yards or more. They're 29th in the NFL.
It's very clear when this team gets explosive plays, it's either from Yak or an explosive run. And the run game's been boom or bust all year long. Where Derrick Henry, you look at the yards per carry, it's good when you just look at the raw number, but it's feast or famine when it comes to him. But yeah, you look at the air yard passes 20 plus yards down the field. Zay Flowers is the guy that's been targeted the most, 9 times, and Lamar, or excuse me, really the quarterbacks in general, 4 of 9 for 136 yards. The next guy with the most 20-plus air yard catches is DeAndre Hopkins, who he's not playing significant snaps. No. And the guy following him, Devontae Walker, who's been a healthy scratch over
these
past few
weeks. He'll probably
be
dressing, yes.
Yeah, and Rashad Bateman was so effective with it last year, having 8 of those receptions. And this year, he's got 1 on 5 targets. They just aren't even attempting 1 per game when it comes to Rashad Bateman. They're not even showing that threat of the deep ball with him.
Remember, and this week they play the Browns. The Browns seem to have the secret sauce for Derrick Henry, even last year. Like, Henry would have like a splash run or two, but he didn't have monster games against the Browns. And then this year, 11 carries for 23 yards in that game that the Ravens won 41-17.
Yeah, I think... look, I think the whole scope of this offense is going to be about, from here on out, one, keeping Lamar upright. Two, creating volume in the offense, whether it's high percentage passes, the ball coming out really quickly, or getting all three of these running backs involved enough to a point where you're still keeping your defense off the field, you're winning the battle of time position, and you're keeping your offensive linemen hopefully driving forward instead of dropping back. I think it's imperative that they dictate to the defense. And the best way for them to dictate to the defense is Derrick Henry, even if it's not especially great, it's quick passes on early downs to get them in situations where they maybe could run it 3 times for 5 yards, second, third, and fourth down. Like, I think it's about being sort of economical in that way and not even pretending that it's going to look like it did last year. Especially not against Cleveland this time of year and that defense.
That's what I'm saying.
This version of Myles Garrett and your offensive line.
If we're just focusing on Sunday, I see a repeat of exactly what we just saw Sunday against the Vikings. I think Lamar's going to get rid of the ball quickly. I don't think he's going to throw the ball downfield at all. He averaged 4.1 air yards per attempt against the Vikings. I think it's going to be a lot of dink and dunk. And you can look back at that first game where it was 41-17. It was 10-3 at half. The offense was scuffling until halftime. And then Myles Garrett ended up getting hurt, missing some of that game. And the defense for Cleveland has been a lot different at home than on the road, much like it was in 2023. They haven't given up more than 17 points in any of their home games. It was 17 to the Bengals, 10 to the Packers. The Vikings game was overseas, and they only gave up 21 there. And then 6 points to the Dolphins. So I think it's going to be another ugly...
This could be a major rock fight. Like, because the Cleveland offense is nothing special.
The over-under in this game is 39.5. So Vegas probably doesn't think that Dylan Gabriel is going to be scoring many points, but I think it's going to be a lower scoring, ugly football game, similar to what we saw.
Yeah, and then I mean, even against the Jets, like, are they going to be trying to put on a show against them? Like, I don't think so. Like, I don't think we're going to see any sort of aerial attack until they face the Bengals, because they might just have to do it.
Yeah.
Like, that might be the best mode.
No matter who the
quarterback victory
is.
We're going to need a lot of points. Let's try to get a lot of points early and see if that team just sort of fades. Because let's face it, we don't think they're going to really have a whole lot to play for.
By the way, that defense sucks.
Yeah. And the defense is god-awful, and they have no discernible strength.
We're going to find out just how much better this Ravens defense is. We won't find out until that Cincinnati game. Like, the Cleveland's not going to show us a damn thing, and the Jets aren't going to show us a damn thing. So the Ravens defense, I expect them to continue to look as good as they've looked of late the next 2 weeks. We won't know for sure if they've gotten any better until they face Cincinnati.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And again, I just think we need to accept that, like, this year is this year. This team is this team. This offensive line is this offensive line. It doesn't mean they couldn't get as far as they got last year or maybe even go a little deeper, but I don't think they're going to do it the way I don't think they're capable in the trenches of doing it the way they did it last year. With Bateman, without Bateman, like, I think they're going about their business differently.
Lamar had a historic year. Derrick Henry had a historic year. They were
the line was better too.
Amazing in the red zone, amazing on third down, and there's been a significant drop off.
Yeah, part of the problem is the main problem, the trenches. Like they got adequate or better offensive line play a year ago, and they're not getting that this year, and so they don't have time to do some of the things that maybe Monk would like to do. I just don't see it possible that they get that kind of time. Alas, we will come back. We'll get the text today. We'll preview tomorrow's show, and we'll get you ready for Maryland basketball pregame. Maryland takes on Alcorn State at 7. Pregame coverage with Mike Popovic starts at 6 here on The Fan. Terps and Alcorn State tonight at 7, and it's being reported now that Miles Rice will not play in this game tonight. He missed the opener against Coppin, played against Georgetown, but now out again tonight.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot for Buzz to figure out here. This is a transition year for the program.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even put the schedule together.
No.
It's obviously a mishmash roster. Look, some of these kids you can look at now and say, okay, could he be around here for, I don't even want to say, part of me wants to say 3 years, but that's probably crazy talk, 2 years. And like, can we play the long game with this backcourt? You know, like that's sort of like what I'm looking at.
Can you play long games in today's college basketball?
Well, that's what Buzz was talking about. Yeah. I mean, that's
but I mean, I think he built it this way. Not for this year, but for next year. I think the money's still going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I don't know that any of them are going to play so well that they're going to outperform their price range. And I think they're going to be more comfortable going back to a place where they know it's being built around them, where someone's got a plan to develop them over multiple years and then set them up for even more financial ability, you know, at the next level, whether that's G League or Europe or whatever. Like, that's, I mean, dude, there's kids who sat out last year who look pretty good playing here now.
Yeah, Mills and Torkson, yeah.
And we're only 2 games in.
Yeah.
So, like, can we see that continue to get better? Can they take on larger roles? And then do you look at that as the backbone of next year's team plus a couple of transfers?
Maybe they get this Baba kid. I am curious. We didn't ask Beltway Ben where he is on Maryland. Now Miles Rice not playing tonight. How do you feel?
He was all over Georgetown.
Yeah, I like Georgetown a lot. I don't think it's going to be a good year for the Terps in general. Need Miles Rice Saturday against Marquette. I think that's more important. And as awful as they were, like the one spark they had was Rice making plays, going to the basket, doing things like that. So, and of course, Payne, but in terms of the guard play, like... it's going to be a long year for him. I don't expect much. I don't want to see Del Pino playing.
He's not ready.
I just don't think that. But speaking to what you guys are talking about, he's a guy that, like, Vescovi from Tennessee a few years ago. He's at Tennessee for like 4 years, and his final year he was elite. Like, I think that's what Buzz wants to do.
Sure.
And it's rare to find that. But that's the thing where, like, all right, I don't want him playing, but if he doesn't play, does he get frustrated and leave and go somewhere else? It's like it's tough to juggle right now, but Buzz, from what I see or hear, he's going to be trying to do that with as many kids as he can.
It's quite a needle to thread.
I mean, like, I'm looking at Adams, I'm looking at Mills and saying, can they next year be sort of cornerstones of a team that we think is really going to the tournament?
Yeah. That along with the recruits and transfers and whatever.
Right.
Yes. We got to get through this season, though, I guess, first. It doesn't feel like it's
going to
be.
Well, I think he's telling you it's not going to be super aesthetically pleasing basketball.
No.
He's saying we're going to run an offense where we need to get fouled as much as possible. He's saying that.
Yeah.
So, like, clearly he's playing the long game. He's verbalized the long game, and I'm focusing on two or three individuals who I think have a chance to be a part of the long game and trying to look at it through that prism and saying, what do they look like in January? What do they look like in March? What do they look like next October, November?
Let's get the text of the day.
Check 1-2. Check. Text of the day. Text of the day. Text of the day.
Okay.
Text of the day comes from Isaiah in Baltimore, who says, been super impressed by Mike Green lately. Seems to be developing at a perfect rate. Has a chance to be one of the better pass rushers the Ravens have drafted in a while.
Same stack. He's coming off his best game.
He's improving. I don't know that I'm ready to say he's a great pass rusher yet, but he's improving. Yeah. And that's...
Well, I mean, look. They don't have a dude. So when you're supposed to be a role player, and the guy who got 10 sacks last year is traded to get a safety, and Van Noy has never really looked right all this year, and some guys can never get healthy, and then Tavius goes to, like,
he was thrown into the defense.
This guy all of a sudden has to
he was thrown into the defense.
You're looking at him as one of the two dudes who might could get a pressure. Yeah. That's not what this was supposed to be.
Long term, this might bode very well for him, but in the short term, he's learning on the job.
In a perfect world, they'd have a couple more wins than they have, and people like Tavius and Adisa Isaac would be playing, and he'd be showing up on third downs here or there.
Adisa Isaac might be back soon. We can always hope.
Famous last words. Yeah.
Another Penn State pass rusher. Bone, what do we got on tomorrow's show?
We have former Giants executive, now NFL Network, Mark Ross joining us. Tim Murray, get our best bets with him. And our pal, Aditi Kinkabwala.
Oh! See what she thinks of the Steelers. Yeah, it is a big show. And the Ravens will be back on the practice field. We'll see.
Mike Tomlin to the Giants, huh? That's all. That's something.
That's something. Hey, don't change that dial. Maryland basketball tonight on The Fan. They play Alcorn State at 7, but pregame coverage with Mike Popovic is coming at you at 6 here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman. New season streaming November 16th. Only on Paramount Plus.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.